All right, folks, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 for the message this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I would like to begin reading familiar verses, beginning in verse 1. And you follow along, please, as I read. And I will read down to the end of verse 7. And I will just go ahead and tell you right now that verse 5 is what I'm going to develop the sermon around. That little line there, the first line, well, the whole verse, really. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then he says, from such turn away. So I want to speak to you this morning, a message I'm going to entitle, A Form of Godliness. A Form of Godliness. Now you think about that phrase for just a moment. A form of godliness. Doesn't say true godliness. It says a form of godliness. Now you know what a form is, right? All right, if you take a, let's say you're building a house and you want to build a sidewalk. So you grade it down, and then you get some little stakes that you're going to use, and you get some wood, some kind of a plank, and you drive that down and line that place, line that thing that you've dug out where your sidewalk's going to be. Then you put the concrete in it, it butts up against the form that you have built. All right, so imagine you've got the form there, but you have no concrete. All right, so that's a form of godliness. That's a form of godliness, but you deny the power. There's nothing there. All you got's the form. There's nothing to stand on. Amen. There's nothing to stand on. You see the point? All right, so keep that in mind, and let's read this now. Verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, let me just stop and say we're here. We're here. All right, now here's a description. You watch this. Here's our age. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Covetous. That means just wanting more. What we have is never enough. Covetous. All right, then read on. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That just simply means that a person has lost their ability to control themselves. Lost their ability to control themselves. You see every now and then on the news they'll have, they'll say where somebody went nuts. You know, they just lost it. And then you'll show them, you know, in Walmart or Target or wherever, and they just go crazy. And, you know, they're beating everybody that they can get their hands on and throwing things and just having a fit. Well, that's our world today. And then notice fierce despisers of those that are good. Boy, we're terrible people, aren't we? Verse 4, traitors. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Amen and amen. Now my text, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. They're creeps. All right, they're creeps. You don't want them. You don't want those people in your house. Talk about the cultists and the, you know, we're just here to talk about young people. Baloney. You're trying to destroy my faith. You're not welcome in my house. John said, don't even give them Godspeed. All right? Don't even bid them have a good day. All right, I got to keep moving. I'm going to chase rabbits all morning if I'm not careful. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead. Now, I didn't write this, y'all. And lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers different lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. All right, I want to speak to you this morning from verse 5, and I'm going to entitle the sermon this morning, A Form of Godliness. All right, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we love you this morning, and just thank you for all you've done for us. And now, as we open this passage of Scripture, look at its truth, I pray that you will bless the message in a great way. And Father, I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit and help me this morning. I want to say what needs to be said, and I want to instruct hearts today and give folks ammunition so that they will know how to defend themselves against the wiles of the devil. So, Father, give your blessing now upon the service. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The Apostle Paul is writing to his preacher boy, whose name is Timothy. We studied Timothy on Wednesday nights several months ago when we were seeing him and Paul traveling together in the book of Acts. And Paul makes a prophetic statement here in this fifth verse that is, or in this first verse that is really quite shocking. I'm sure that folks in his day felt that they were living in perilous times. And so they were probably thinking, wow, if it's going to get worse than this, you know, they probably were shocked at how things were going back in the first century. But Paul said, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And as I just mentioned, I think those perilous times are definitely here. Now, you know, some of us are old enough to remember a completely different America than what we have today. I grew up in a community where we did not lock our doors at night. Do you remember that? We never locked our doors. In the summertime, we would leave the front door open because there was a screen door and air would come through that screen door. And we didn't have air conditioning. That was something that only rich people had. And so we didn't have air conditioning. And we had fans going, and we would just leave all the windows open. And we'd go on vacation, leave all the windows open. Be gone a whole week and leave the windows open. And we didn't want the house to be hot when we got home. You understand that. And so, you know, that was a different era, was it not? You didn't have to worry about some drug addict or some drunk sneaking through your doors in the middle of the night, coming in to knock you in the head and steal all of your belongings. But you will... today, you'll go to bed and then lay there for 20 minutes wondering, did I lock the door? Yes. And you can't stand it. You eventually have to get up and go downstairs and make sure. And sure enough, you did lock it. But that just shows you that we're in a different era today. Back then, you would have never even thought about it. We left our bicycles out on the front sidewalk. We left our bikes outside, nice Schwinn bikes, by the way. And you did not have to lock them up in the garage, and you didn't have to chain them to the dogwood tree. No, it was a different time back then. And with a whole different mindset than what people have today. You see, in that day, right was right, and wrong was wrong, and up was up, and down was down. But now today, that's just all backwards. What's right has become wrong, and what's wrong has become right, and what's up is down, and what's down is up. Everything's just completely twisted around in our society today. Now, things have changed, folks. Dramatically, things have changed. You best lock everything up now. I mean, it might be a good idea to lock your kids to the bed before you go to sleep at night. That's how bad our world has gotten. I've got cameras watching outside my house. How many of you do? Huh? Yeah, a lot of you do, don't you? I do. I don't want somebody coming in and breaking into my house. And by the way, let me just advise you, don't break into my house. All right? Mr. Smith and Wesson is going to be waiting on you if you do. All right? So you knock, and I'll come answer the door, and I'll probably give you anything you want. All right? But don't break in. That really angers me. All right? And anyway, back to the message. But in our world today, I mean, everything is a mess. The lines just keep changing, don't they? The lines just keep changing. And I want you to look now at the many things that Paul said were coming in the last days. I read the list for you just a moment ago, so I'm not going to take the time to read it again. But you might be have said to yourself while I was reading this, you know, Pastor, I think Paul was right. Man, the world sure has been this way lately. The world has been like this. It's very clear to see the world right here. Folks, listen, Paul's not talking about the world here. You say he's not? No. You say, well, what's he talking about? He's talking about the condition of the church in the last days. The world has always been like this. The world has always been like this. I mean, in Paul's day, the world was like this. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about the church. And boy, that's where we are in the church today. We are definitely there. And I think the world has been in this condition for a long, long time. Paul is not talking about the world here. He is describing the church, the condition, the spiritual condition of the church in the last days. Now, let's just go back to the time I spoke of a moment ago. Did you not see the true church of Jesus Christ in the condition back then that it's in today? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I mean, I am certainly not going to suggest that 50 years ago everything in the church was perfect. But I tell you something that they had then that is not present today, and that is that there today is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, back in the 50s and back in the 60s, there was a fear of God before their eyes. But boy, not today. No, everybody today just has no fear of God. It's almost like, well, I don't have to worry about it. I'm good. I've had folks that have done stuff in the church, and then I go talk to them, and I say, can't you see that this is not right? Well, yeah, I guess, but don't you see? You're going to have to answer to God for this. Oh, well, I'll take my chances with God. I'm right. No, you're not right. It's not a right and wrong issue. It's a matter of this is the house of God. And we need to respect and fear the God. You say, well, what if there is an injustice? God will take care of it. Let God take care of it. Everybody wants their rights. I want my rights. I'll give you your rights and a few lefts too. Folks, come on. This is God's house. And we need to honor the things of God. And right here he says that all these things are going to happen. And they're happening in the church. And it's so sad. Perilous times. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. So why don't you come to church on Sunday night? Sunday's my only day off. I just need some downtime for me. Me, 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 me. All right, covetous, wanting more, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Oh, you could just go on and on. You say, well, now, how in the world can we blaspheme? Well, you can blaspheme by using God's name in vain, for one thing. You can blaspheme God by using God's name or Christ's name as a swear word, which I have heard a lot of Christians doing. All right, now, you say, Pastor, this going to be one of those sermons? Probably. Amen. Yeah, probably. That's the way it's going anyway. You see, we could certainly take the time to look at each and every one of these statements here. But each one is a sermon in and of itself. But this morning, I want us to focus on verse 5. Paul says in the last days that men would have a shell of religion. They would have a shell, let me say it this way, they would have a shell of religiousness. Religiousness. I don't know if that's a word, but I just made it one. So maybe it is. A shell. But their religion would not have a connection to God. No connection to God. Their religion impacted them. It impacted them, but they were not impacted by God. There's a difference. Now let's think of this statement, and let me make a few observations this morning. First of all, Paul says, notice in verse 5, Paul says their religion is nothing but a form. It's just a form. One of the great expositors of the last century, Dr. McLaren, used pastor in New York, he said of this verse, these people are pagans masquerading as Christians. Wow, that's strong, isn't it? See, y'all thought I was rough. He said that in church. He said that in church. That's the best place to say something like that, by the way. All right? They are pagans masquerading as Christians. And sadly, folks, this is a description of so much of Christianity today. There's a ritual. There is a ceremonial. There is a humility before the altar in the church. There is a complete show and demonstration of religion, but it's all just form. There's nothing behind it. There's no relationship behind it. The form has nothing inside. There is no relationship with God Almighty. No understanding of the person of God. It is simply a form that so many people go through every single Sunday. They come in. They sit down, they stand when they're supposed to, sit when they're supposed to, and then they get up and they go home and nothing changes. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You say, I wonder what that power thereof thing. Well, that means the Lord brings somebody, stands them right in front of you, and there's this little thought that goes off in your brain that says, I think I should witness to that guy. But then you don't do it. There's the form, but there's nothing inside. There's no power inside. And that is simply the way so many people are today. Oh, they might go to church. I mean, every Sunday they may be there, and they may give to the church, and they even may occasionally read the Bible, and they may stand down front of their church and take communion, or they may have their children go through the religious forms of their church and feel that they're doing right, but there is no real heartfelt repentance of sin in their lives, and if the truth were told, it is all unreal. It's just form. There's no substance to it. And folks, that's where we are in America. That's where we are in our churches today. Simply going through the motions of having church. Now, God doesn't want us having a form. He wants us to have the substance. What is a form? Well, it is something built to give structure to something else. It is something that is built to give structure and form to something else. Now, I gave the illustration a moment ago of the sidewalk. You could illustrate that with the front porch. I remember when I was a teenager, we built a house. My dad built a house, and we helped him. And so when it came time to do everything, my dad would say, "All right, here, boys, here's what we're going to do." And he would do the measurements, and then he'd holler out at me, I need a board and one of those laying right there." I'd say, "Okay." He said, "I need that 16 feet long, okay?" And so I would go over there, and I would take and cut one 8 feet and then bring it to him, and then I'd take another one and cut it 8 feet, bring it to him. He'd nail them up there, and I said, "Dad, what are we doing with this?" "We're going to pour the front porch in after a while. Cement trucks are going to be here after a while. And we're going to pour this front porch, but we got to get it formed in." Formed in. All right, now, my grandfather was standing there, and my grandfather said to my little brother, "Come here and help me load this wheelbarrow full of these old broken bricks." And so my brother went over there, and him and my grandfather started putting these bricks, the broken bricks. They brought bricks for us to put on the house, and they dropped one of them. And man, they broke everywhere. Not all of them broke, but many of them broke. And so my grandfather said, "We'll just use that as the base to pour that concrete on." And so I helped Dad build the form, and then they took the bricks and they threw them over in, and then they got this wrought iron stuff. What is it, Steve? Help me. Rebar. They got this rebar stuff, and they put it down in there. And my grandfather said, "All right, boys, get in there and stomp around on it." So we got in there and jumped up and down on it, trying to press it down as much we could. And then he threw some more on them. We got in there and jumped on that. All right, now, about 1:30, the phone rang. And the guy said, "Our truck broke down. We can't bring the cement today." And so we were a little disappointed, but there was plenty to do, so we just shifted gears from the front porch and did something else. Now, later on that evening, now the deal was, on Saturdays, you work from 7 until they got done, but then when they got done, you could get on the motorcycle and take off and do whatever you wanted to do. All right, so here's what happened. I had my bike outside, and so when we finished dinner, I said, "Can I be excused?" My mother said, "Yes." And so my brother said, "Wait for me." And then out the door we went. And sure enough, man, I went out there and looked down, but it was too late. I was already about that far in the air. And I went down in that thing and nearly killed myself. I hit that front board, knocked it completely off. bruised my forehead right here where I hit it. Don't laugh. Oh, I'm telling you, just in a hurry. Just in a hurry. There was the form, but there was no porch. What good is to have the form if you don't have a porch? It's not good. You go break your nose. That's what you're going to do. And plus, you're going to get in trouble for breaking the board off. Had to put the board back. But not that board. I had to cut another board. It just never stopped with my dad. That's the point. Anyway, the form. The form's no good. You need the substance, folks. And that substance is a personal relationship with God. We don't come to church and just go through the motions. No, come to church and have a relationship with God Almighty. Come to church and open your heart and say, okay, Lord, I'm here. Draw me closer to you. Get in my heart and stir my heart. Get in there and take that poker and stir those ashes around. Get those coals burning again. And come in, drop down all of your walls. Just drop them down and focus in on your relationship with God. That's what we need. Not the form, we need the relationship. We need the true godliness. We need that walk with God. We need to know Him and the power of His resurrection. You see, a relationship with someone is established whenever we spend time with that person. And it is amazing how our closeness grows as we hang around someone. So the more that we hang around with the Lord, the more that we hang around with the Lord here in church. I mean, the more we hang around God in His Word, in prayer, in simple daily fellowship, the more we learn to love Him. And sadly, there are so many folks today who have that form, but there is no real, true godliness in their hearts. Let me give you a little observation that I trust will illustrate this point. A form of godliness. Now, I didn't watch it. I saw it on a news clip, but I didn't watch it when it happened. But I saw it on the internet news, not the TV news. I heard about it. Somebody here at the office told me, and so I went home and I watched the clip. And sure enough, it happened just like they said. On January 20th, our new president stood before one of the bought and paid for Supreme Court justices, you're welcome, and put his hand on the Bible. He put his left hand on a Bible. Well, it was a reasonable facsimile of a Bible. And he took an oath of office. And he said before God and on the Bible that he would serve the people of America and that he would obey the Constitution, etc., etc., etc. You know, the typical oath that the President of the United States takes. All right, so left hand on the Bible, right hand in the air. I solemnly swear. Okay, then turned right around, went over to the White House, and signed a whole bunch of executive orders which restarted the brutal practice of murdering babies in the womb and outside the womb now. You know what that's called? Murder. Oh, they call it abortion. It's murder. Plain and simple, they're killing a human being. And so, rekindling also the American taxpayer money to not only fund abortion here in America, but to fund it overseas. Now, does that make any sense to you? We're going to kill babies here, but we're also going to send money over to African nations and Asian nations, and we're going to kill babies there. Shame on us. Shame on us. Now, you know what really makes it shameful? What really makes it shameful is this. Everybody standing there looking at it goes, oh, wow, he's got his hand on the Bible. So, you see, it's just like the Bible says, a form. It's a form. If it were real, there would be no abortions at all. If there was true godliness, there wouldn't be any abortions. None at all. Folks, I'm telling you, we're here. That's a form of godliness. Your walk has to match your talk. All right, here's another one. Shortly after that, like 2 or 3 days later, Congress had their first meeting. God help us. And they had a congressman pray. Did you hear him? Did you hear me? I said he prayed. I'm going to put quotation marks on that prayed thing. All right? He prayed. And when he finished, well, he prayed to Allah and to God and to the spirit in the sky and to Buddha and then whoever, whatever he was praying to, when he finished praying, he said, amen. And what? A woman. What? Amen and a woman? Good grief. You know what that is? That's a form without any substance. That's going through the motions without any substance whatsoever. I'm sure the Lord was sitting up in heaven on the right hand of God the Father. He looked over to Father and said, what? I'm sure he was wondering, what? Does it make any sense, folks? And the reason it doesn't is because it's a form. We don't need the form. We need to get a hold of God. We don't need the form. I've told you before, when the last time that I was invited down to pray for the opening of the house down in Annapolis, they sent me a letter and they said, now, before it happened, and they said, now, in this highly charged era in which we live, we are asking you please to refrain from praying in Jesus' name. That's offensive to several folks and blah, blah, blah. And if you would please just pray as generic a prayer as you possibly can. I don't know how to generically pray. I just don't know how to do that. And so I got up and I said, Dear Heavenly Father, the God of creation. And I just went on and prayed to that God. And I reminded those people that they were there because government is sanctioned of God Almighty. They're not there because of their popularity, or they're not there because of this or that. They're there because of the fact that government is sanctioned of God. And I said, so Father, I pray you'll help these men and women to make decisions based on biblical truth and the foundation upon which this nation was founded. And then that was bad enough. They were slamming drawers, pounding on their desks. They didn't want me to be heard. So I just cranked it up a little bit. Oh, you could have heard me at the Naval Academy. And when I was done, I said, and this is what got him, man, this threw him over the edge. I said, in the name of the only begotten Son of the living God, God in the flesh. Oh, I just kept it going. Just kept it going. God in the flesh. Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Amen. Well, I haven't been invited back. And I don't think I'm going to be invited back anytime soon. You see, I don't know how to pray in a form. I just don't know how to do that. And you know, if our country would just stop being formal and get a hold of the throne of God. I mean, listen, when you pray, does it go farther than the ceiling before it comes back down and beats you over the head? I mean, relationship, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a relationship. I probably shouldn't tell you all this, but I will. I sent Trump an email shortly after. I got a real nice response back. But I sent an email to President Trump in 2017, just after he had taken office. And I said, there's a verse in Scripture, and it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. And it talks about a form of godliness. And I said, now, sir, we see a lot of form. We're seeing a lot of form out of you. You're talking a good game. Why don't you go before the people and call the nation to repentance? Why don't you, if this is real to you, get on national TV and pray to the God of heaven in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let America see that you are more than just a shell. And a shell is a form. And I got a real nice response back. And I kept watching. He got close several times, but just never quite got there. I wonder what would have happened had he got there. It couldn't have been any worse than what we're dealing with now, that's for sure. Think about it. Then secondly, that was my first point. Second point, Paul says their religion was not, what it was a form. What it was not was a force. It was not a force. Do you remember the Lord Jesus said, if you had faith like a mustard seed. You ever seen a mustard seed? You better get your glasses on and look through the bottom focal. The one that enlarges it muchly. A mustard seed is little tiny thing. But man, it makes this huge bush. Huge. It'll go everywhere. And so Jesus said, if you had the faith just as small as that little old mustard seed, you could move a mountain. You could say to that sycamore tree, get up and go over and plant yourself over there, and it'd do it. In other words, the Lord is saying, hey, there's power in prayer. There is a force when prayer is done right. There is a force when the people of God get on their knees before God and claim God's power. There's a force. Oh, they have the form, but they don't have the force. Religion as a force is totally unknown to people today. Paul said, but denying the power thereof. And when someone has the form, but they don't have the force, the power, that person's religion has no power in it. Religion that has no force is nothing more than a farce. The Apostle James spoke of this, of this kind of religion, and he used the word vain in connection to it. He said, your religion is vain. That word vain, it means empty. There's, in other words, there's no force. You're just going through the motions. It's a form, but there is no force. Nothing there. I got my first motorcycle when I was just ready to turn 13. I was still 12 years old when I got my first dirt bike. And we would take off early in the morning in the summers when Dad was at work and we didn't have to work on the house. We would take off early in the morning and we would just go all day. We come home every now and then or go down, we'd be out, we knew where the gas stations were. And when we started getting low on gas, we'd stop, fill up, and just keep going. We just keep going. And sometimes we got out there in those right-of-ways and we got lost. We couldn't remember which way we turned. We were out there way out, way out. I don't even know where we were. And we spotted an old cabin. Probably was a hunting cabin, probably. Probably the guys that built that right-of-way, it was electric wire, the guys that built that right-of-way, they were the ones probably who built that cabin. But man, it was in bad shape. It was old. It had been sitting there for years. Years, probably 30 years, 40 years maybe. And so we parked the bikes, went over, went inside. We were looking around, see if there was anything there. Wasn't anything there. There was a table, and there were four chairs. And one of the chairs was turned this way. The others were tucked underneath the table. And one of the guys, Joey was his name, Joey Townsend. Joey walked over, and he sat down. I think it was Joey. Anyway, he sat down in that chair. And when he did, right down to the floor it went. Man, it scared him, scared us. I reached down, I picked up a piece of that chair, and it was hollow on the inside. The ants had eaten all the wood. I looked at the other guys and I said, we probably ought to get out of here. They probably ate the floor too. Don't sneeze, anybody. The roof will come down on us, you know. And so I dropped that. I went over and I put my hand on the table and I shoved and the table collapsed. And then the other chair, the other guys hit the other chair. They just collapsed. And when you picked that wood up, it was hollow on the end, just sawdust. You could hold it up and the sawdust would run out. Many years ago, evidently, the termites, something got in there and just ate everything. Ate it all. Can you imagine that? Just a shell. And by the way, the minute you touch that shell, it's gone. It was gone. Boy, I tell you, we have a whole world out there that has that shell, don't we? I mean, come to church on Sunday, drink like a fish the rest of the week. Come to church on Sunday, run around with some woman the rest of the week. Come to church on Sunday and just live like a devil the rest of the week. We got to be careful, folks. That's exactly what the devil wants us to do. Can I remind you that Samson, he had a form. Remember that? He had a form. And then he got up one day after Delilah had tricked him into giving his secret for his power. And then she cut his hair off and she said, Samson, the enemy, the Philistines, they're on you. He jumps up and the Bible said, and wist not. In other words, he did not know. Isn't that something? He wist not that his power was gone from him. That's probably one of the saddest verses in the Bible. He woke up from being asleep in the devil's lap, and he did not know that his power was gone. Hosea said, oh, there are a lot of churches like that. Hosea said it this way in chapter 7, verse 9, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not. And folks, listen, in this day of iniquity and apathy in which we live today, in this day of spiritual dearth, any or all of us are capable of losing our power with God Almighty if we don't stay focused upon it. And this happens to so many Christians today. They do not even realize that it's happened to them. And this is why folks can let things slide, and then they tolerate things, and then they compromise on things, and then they allow for things in their life that they never would have allowed 4 years before. We just got a form now, but there's no power. And then lastly, Paul says from these people, we need to flee. We need to flee. We need to flee. Paul said, from such turn away. Look at it. Verse 5. From such turn away. I think this has two applications. First, I think it was applied to the young Timothy himself. Timothy, be careful, bud. Be careful who you pal around with. Be careful who you run around with. Hey, Timothy, be careful whose books you read. Be careful, Tim. You see, as an individual, Timothy needed to be careful not to let this form or let these form folks rub on him and in his personal life. Be careful, Tim. But then secondly, as a leader, as the pastor of the church at Ephesus. You see, Timothy had a responsibility to carefully guard the purity of the church that he pastored. God gave him that church and entrusted it to his care. And so both in regard to doctrine, in regard to practice, in regard to purity, his job was to take care of that church at Ephesus. And folks, that's why I'm not going to compromise at the Church of the Open Door. I'm just not going to do it. Now, if you're sitting around here just waiting, say, well, eventually he's not. No. Well, one of these days, I know he's going to give one of these. No, he's not. Nope. It's not going to happen. I do not want to leave or to lose the hand of God and the blessing of God upon my ministry. I decided right across the street over there, right across the street at the Boston Inn. That's where we stayed. That's where we stayed when we came here. First night, Saturday night, before Sunday church. We stayed right over there. And I walked out to the edge of the sidewalk where I could look over here and see this church. And I remember standing there and praying to God and said, Lord, this church has been where it is now for a long time. And I'm not going to come in here and be an idiot and change it. I'm not going to come in here and be a fool and run off all the people who have given by changing the music. I'm not going to come in here and run off all the people who mortgaged their homes so that we could sit in this building right here. I'm not going to come in and change the Bible on these precious folks. It's not going to happen. And I decided long, long ago, folks, I was not going to be a member of the Bible of the Month Club. I don't want to be just a veneer. I don't want to be just an outside form with nothing on the inside. Oh, that we would all look in the mirror of God's eternal word this morning and see ourselves as we really are. Let's get the power back. How about it? Let's get the power back in our homes. Let's get the power back in our relationships. Let's get the power back in our soul winning. Let's get the power back in our classrooms. Let's get the power back in our bus ministry. Let's get the power of God upon what we're doing. And I think all this COVID stuff has distracted a lot of attention away from priorities. I don't want just a form. I don't want just an empty shell. And I hope you don't either. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around for just a moment. Thank you so much for the way you listened this morning. And I want to ask you right now. I want to ask you a question. How many of you will say, Pastor, I kind of feel like the devil has lulled me into a form, a shell. I kind of feel like I've let down in some areas through all of this COVID stuff, and through all of this being down and being home. And I just kind of feel like I've lost my zeal, lost my power. But Pastor, I want it back. I don't want to be a veneer. I don't want to be a form. I don't want to be a shell. So pray for me, Pastor. I'm going to lift my hand and ask you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand all over this building, please? Well, what a wonderful sight that is. Thank you so much. Amen. God bless you, folks. Amen. Good. God bless all of you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. You may put your hands down. All right, let me ask one more question. Is there anyone here today that would say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul? Would you pray for me today, preacher? I won't embarrass you, I promise, but I will pray for you. And you say, I just don't know for sure that I'm saved. Could I pray for you this morning? Would you lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it? And let me ask God to help you today. Just lift your hand and hold it up. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? All right, Father, you know our needs this morning. Thank you for many, many, many hands that were raised today. Father, if just the number of folks who raised their hand this morning would follow through and just make up their mind that they're going to get rid of the form and they're going to use the substance. It would make a difference. It would send revival to the church, the open door. There's no doubt about it. So Father, give us that burdened heart. And I pray that you will bless all these folks who raised their hand this morning. And Father, give us revival. Give us a burden. We got enough shells running around. So, Father, give us some force and not just a bunch of farce. We love you and thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.